good morning to everybody. It certainly is a pleasure to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. I turn to a portion of scripture found in the book of Hebrews, and it's a scripture that I want to take for a text this morning that I always found very, very complete and very comforting to me, because it tells me where I fall short and tells me what God did for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the 19th verse of Hebrews chapter 7, and it says this: "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." And what that tells me is no one is perfect by the keeping of the law. As a matter of fact, there's a place in the scripture that says this about the keeping of the law and what the law was given for. The law, which was a good law, it was a perfect law. It was given by God on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And it was given to show us that we can't keep it. To show us that we'll fall short. The scripture says it is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, a person that tries to save himself by the keeping of the law will find himself, by the Spirit of God within him, that he falls short of keeping the law. He can't do it. And so, what God required for us to go to heaven was perfection. Perfection. And that perfection is that better hope. That perfection is Jesus Christ. That perfection was God providing himself an offering in behalf of poor sinners such as we are. For the law made nothing perfect. We can't be perfect through the keeping of the law. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. Now I want to just go over some things that show us from God's holy inspired word. You know, I love this book. This book is, man, it's so truthful. It just tells me all that I need to know about what Jesus has done for me and what I am by nature. It tells me what he's done for me and the sweet hope that I have. This is talking about a better hope, a hope that's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Jesus was the requirement for perfection. And he was perfect. I remember being at an association one time, and I came up after a preacher that began his sermon by saying this: God looked around at all the people everywhere, looking for someone to save his people. And he looking around, ask for a volunteer. And Jesus raised his hand and said, I volunteer. Well, when I got up after him, I corrected him on that because Jesus did not volunteer to come here to save you and I. Why? Because first of all, there was no one available to volunteer except him. And he didn't volunteer. He came at the command of God the Father to come to this earth to redeem all that he and God the Father loved in a covenant of grace before the world was. He came willingly, but he came, the scripture says, in obedience to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was the required perfect sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. And it took perfection. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in this very same chapter here that tells me about the perfection of Jesus. It's verse 26. It says this about Jesus. For such a high priest, now if you go back and read this, it's talking about what those earthly high priests under the law service brought. But Jesus, who is our high priest, what he brought. And then it says in verse 26, for such a high priest, referring to the high priestlyhood of Jesus Christ our Lord, for such a high priest became us. He actually became us. There's a scripture in the book of Corinthians that said, on the cross, he became sin, that through him we might become the righteousness of God. He became our sin on the cross, that we might bestow upon us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that perfect offering that was made. Such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. You see, Jesus didn't have the bloodstream that we have, which comes from Adam, because as the angel told Joseph in the book of Matthew chapter 1, fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, of that which is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt bring forth a son. He shall save his people, for he is the ultimate perfect sacrifice to redeem us from our sin. He shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why do they call him Jesus? Jesus means Savior. Yeah. And he didn't have to wait for me and you to make him a Savior. He was a Savior from the very womb of the Virgin Mary, conceived in her by God himself. The only person that's ever been born upon the face of this earth that came forth not conceived of the seed of man. Jesus Christ was the perfect offering. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. We want to take a look at some other scriptures that tell us about this Jesus. It tells us in the book of John that he was full of grace, full of truth. It tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. He was full of grace because he was God in the flesh, and he had the ability to dispense grace to his people, which is unmerited favor that's bestowed upon an undeserving individual. He was full of truth because he is the truth. Jesus even proclaimed one time, he said, "I am the way." He's the way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. "I am the truth." He is the truth and the only truth. And he said, "I am the life." Jesus is that eternal life that's been bestowed upon each one of us. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. Now we want to turn over to the Gospel of John, where Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. Chapter 19 here of the Gospel of John. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him. They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.'" Pilate had searched every law. He had done a Mueller investigation on Jesus to find some reason to crucify him, some reason to put him to death. When he made his investigation and looked at all the evidence, what did he say? "I find no fault in him." Why did he find no fault in him? Because he was God in the flesh, and he kept the law to a jot and to a tittle, and nothing Jesus ever did was a violation of any of the laws of that day. That's why Pilate said, "I can find no fault in him." He did everything he could to get this man released because he was innocent of the charges that had been brought before him of this man. And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." And the chief priests therefore, the officers, saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto them again, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." There he said it again. No fault in him. Why? Because he was perfect in everything that he did. And Pilate could find nothing to cause Jesus to be put to death. And so when Jesus, when he said this the second time, then they answered him and said, When the chief priest therefore and the officers saw him, they have found no fault in him. In verse 7 he said, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. There was a law. A man could walk out and proclaim that he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God. If he wasn't, he could be put to death. So because some there believed that he was not the Son of God, they said, there is a law, we can put him to death because of that. But when they said that, that made Pilate even the more concerned, because Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with putting to death the Son of God. If you read on down, you'll see, and Pilate even became more concerned, more afraid. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Yes, he could find no fault in him. Why could he find no fault in him? Because Jesus was indeed that perfect sacrifice. But you know, it took more than just perfection to redeem us from our sins. It took suffering. Punishment had to be meted out for our sins. God couldn't just say, well, we got somebody that's going to substitute in your behalf. No, God had to deal with sin. Suffering was required. And so it says here in the book of Hebrews, beginning at verse 9 there of the second chapter. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And that every man that's under consideration is every man, woman, and child that God the Father elected in a covenant of grace before the world was and gave to his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons under glory. You see, he didn't say all of Adam's race or all of the human race. He said bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Yes, his sacrifice on the cross was perfect because of the suffering that he suffered on the cross. And that made the sacrifice perfect unto God, because God dealt with our sins through the person of Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross, made perfect through suffering. We'll find a little further over in the book of Hebrews a scripture that tells us, because of his sacrifice, because of his perfect sacrifice and his suffering, he became the author of eternal salvation, the all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. We'll begin here at verse, we'll see that here in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, and it says, beginning at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also, As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then on down into verse 9 he said, and being made perfect. Jesus was made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Who is that that obey him? Those that God the Father called from death unto life, and they come into life and they obey that call from God into eternal life. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Yes, he, by his perfection, was the author of eternal salvation to all of God's children. Over in the book of 1 Peter, we'll find it says this about this Jesus, telling us and showing to us that he was the perfect sacrifice that was required to redeem us from our sins. We'll find here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 18 there, and it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, he was without blemish. He was without spot. That's why whenever under the law service, they brought a lamb to the service to be a sacrifice, and the blood taken from the lamb and spread on the mercy seat, it couldn't be just any lamb. You couldn't pick out one that looks a little sickly, like it's going to die anyway. No, it had to be the most perfect lamb that they had. It had to be a perfect fully healthy lamb. Why? Because Jesus was indeed as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Yes, indeed, the scriptures tell us about him that he was indeed perfect. A little further over here, 1 Peter, we'll see this. It says, beginning at verse 15 there of chapter 2, he says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy of if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when we were buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. And then in verse 22, he said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Yes, Jesus Christ was perfect in every way and was the only sacrifice that could have been made to do the job that God the Father commanded him and sent him to this earth to do, and that's to go to the cross, lay down his life for his sins. And you know, I'll just say this about when Jesus was crucified. Jesus did not have any sin in him. Jesus was perfect. He was perfect in every way. I've shown you several scriptures that tell of the perfection of Jesus. So when Jesus was on the cross, to be crucified, remember this, it's death that brings, it's sin that brings about death. We're all headed to death because of sin in our life. But Jesus didn't have any sin. There was no cause within him that he should die. He was conceived by an eternal God. The only way he could die was to lay down his life for the sins of his people, which he did. And if you go over there, you'll see how Jesus laid down his life for his people on the cross. They did not take his life. There was no cause of death in him. He knew no sin. There was no sin at all in him. Yes, Jesus Christ was indeed the perfect sin. Going back over now to our text where we began, we'll find here, for the law made nothing perfect, but the beginning of a better hope did. That's Jesus Christ, by the which we draw nigh unto God. We saw the perfection of Jesus. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. We saw how Jesus, there was no, the Pilate examined him, found no fault in him. We saw that he was made perfect through his suffering, because suffering, and God had to deal with sin through the suffering of Jesus. He was made perfect through suffering. As a result of his suffering and his sacrifice, he became the author of eternal life to all that God the Father gave to him. As a son, he was perfected forevermore. You know, those old high priests, they had to bring their sacrifices every year. But once Jesus made that sacrifice, there's no need for any more blood sacrifices. That blood that Jesus shed was once and forever sufficient to redeem every last one that God the Father gave to the Son before the world was. He was without blemish. He was without spot. And in 2 Peter it says he did no sin. Yes, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. No one eligible to volunteer, and he didn't volunteer. He came here at the command of God the Father to redeem a people and to go to the cross and finish the work of redemption for every last one of them. I thank you for your attention. You pray for Elder Martin now as he comes to preach to us.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness or danger in that bright world to which I yearn. And enter on. to thy good.